Okay, you're listening across the border, and we're doing our first installment of the Book of Jeremiah. And let's see if we can pick up where we left off. But where are the gods that hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. Yes, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 28. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. And here we have a nation that had one God, and that was Hear, O Israel, Yahuwah, our God is one. Our Elohim is one God. That was the saying, but as you can see, they've adopted many gods. And he's saying, let your gods arise and save you. Wherefore will you plead with me? You all have transgressed against me, saith Yahuwah. And isn't that the way it works? In America, we've had, relative peace and very little trouble. A lot of people think that was a big deal, that thing that happened in 2001. Well, you know, I don't want to diminish it for those people that that suffered personal losses in that tragedy. But as far as a national tragedy, well, I don't believe that most of America suffered that much. And I think for the people that had losses in that tragedy, as opposed to the most of America, who became severely patriotic overnight, and it's a very superficial patriotism, and there were a few preachers who said, America bless God, so God can bless America. And people got mad, because everyone was saying, God bless America, and they were saying, America bless God, so that God can bless America. Now, very little suffering has happened in this land, and I believe that terrible things are going to happen here. From the reading of Jeremiah, what our Heavenly Father allowed to happen in Israel, well, a lot of terrible things have happened in America. But people just don't realize that they're slaves anymore, if they ever did, because they've become incrementally slaves. And that we've lost our freedom, that we've become a nation of slaves, speaking corporately of America as a nation, that we all become debt slaves, doesn't seem to be working. It does not seem to be waking up the people, because they just cry out for more handouts. They just cry out for more slavery rather than getting to work. And rather than putting off the things that brought us into slavery, they don't even want to recognize. They want to have the illusion that this is the land of the free and the home of the brave, when in truth it is the land of the fee and the home of the slave. It's not a free land anymore. We don't have real money. All we have is debt. We don't produce anything anymore. Everything's made elsewhere. How long can it go on? Well, we'll see. But let's see what happened in Israel when they turned in the time of Jeremiah. He says, in vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, you see the word of Yahuwah, you see the word of the Lord. See ye the word of the Lord. Have I been in a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto thee. Isn't that what people say? That we will make our own laws? You know, that's what you have in the whole homosexual movement out there. Because they want a license from the state to marry. And why do they want a license from the state? Because they can't get a license from the Creator. They read his book, the Bible, and the Bible will not give them license to marry. It says what they want is abomination. So they turn to the state. They turn to their own God. And they say, we are our own lords. We will come no more unto thee. That's a great, well, there's a great division in the land between those who want homosexual marriage and those who do not. And the homosexuals are getting mad because the people, by a small margin, what, at 48% to 52%, have voted against giving license to the homosexuals to marry. Yeah, they're very angry. Will they get their way? Well, maybe, perhaps their high priests, you know, the guys in the black robes up there at the state capitol, perhaps they'll give them their way. They did it once already. And we'll see what happens. But it just goes to show you the wickedness of the land when the same majority that gave them, that turned them down, now allows their own children to have abortions without parental permission. That goes against the law. Honor thy father and thy mother. That goes against the law. So we see America is really at a turning point. That the sin is, it's really at a turning point. The rod of correction that's been laid on the back of America so far hasn't worked. It's been fairly light. So we just have to look for a heavier rod of correction. And when the terrible times come, they will go. They will cry out to him. And he's going to say, wherefore will you plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith Yahuwah. Verse 32, can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Let's see if our good friend Henry has something to say about that. He's got a lot to say here. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? There's an allusion here to the practice of lewd women who strive to recommend themselves by ogling looks and gay dress, as Jezebel, who painted her face and teared her hair. Thus had they courted their neighbors into sinful confederacies with them and communion with their idolatries and taught the wicked ones their ways. So I guess, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? So that's a reference to making themselves up by clothing or their hair or makeup or whatever, painting their face. So he says, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore thou hast also taught the wicked ones. Who are the wicked ones? This includes feminine form or bad, exceedingly, yeah, sometimes these Hebrew definitions just are so broad that it's hard to narrow it down. So I'll continue here and see what Henry has to say about this. Thus they had courted their neighbors into sinful confederacies with them and communion with in their idolatries and had taught the wicked ones their ways of mixing God's institutions with their idolatrous customs and usages. Oh, you know what? Which is a great profanation of that which was sacred and made the ways of idolatry worse than that of the others. And just so happened, I was kind of amazed. I was watching something on the television last night, and I was checking out the news channels. So I check out CNN and the Fox News channels, and I happened to hit the up and down channel button and came across the CM country music channel. And this gal came on and she was singing something called My Hallelujah or something. And she was using the word hallelujah, and I thought, well, maybe CM stands for Christian music or something, you know. So I listened to this song and watched this woman in her music country, and it was Country Music Channel, singing the song, and she was singing, I don't remember her name. But I was just amazed because she was singing My Hallelujah song or something like that, and she was about how she made it in country music, and now she's singing her hallelujah song, and she has no idea what she's singing. And that's what I was thinking. She has no idea. While this all sounds good, and she's got these, you know, the country music has this morality about it, that, you know, seemingly family values and all that about it. And here's this woman on this stage singing hallelujah with a skirt somewhere parked between her crotch and her knees. And she's on a stage, and I'm just thinking, man, you know, she's standing above all these men and all these people, children and women and children, and they're at her so-called concert in front of them with this short skirt on singing her hallelujah song. And, you know, I just thought that she doesn't even know what she's singing. She doesn't know that she's taking the name of my heavenly Father in vain. And that just, when I read that, this here in Jeremiah, Henry had to say about that, they have their ways. They taught the wicked ones their ways of mixing God's institutions with their idolatrous customs and usages. And it just seemed to fit so well that it popped back into my mind. And I just shook my head, and I just thought, man, you know, I'd never let my children watch this, because my children never watch TV unattended. They may watch videos that are approved, you know, but they will just never watch pop TV or pop music or listen to the radio unattended. And anyone who does not, you know, shelter their children, especially small children, when they're adults, you can't shelter them. They got to go out there and decide that, you know, like you, if you've taught them well, that you turn those things off which are profane or even that seem good, but you know they are profane because they're mixing that which seems godly with profanity and practicing profanity. So we had this woman up there on the stage with her painted face and her trim, she trims her way to seek love, but she's mixing seemingly godliness with idolatry. And you see that in a lot of the contemporary Christian movement out there in the corporate church, where the women come in, practically half of their chest is bare or their back is completely bare. You know, and I got a kind of a rule for my granddaughter visiting me one weekend. She came in and of course they know that they're going to go to a meeting with me on the weekend, and we go to fellowship, and they bring church clothes to go to church, basically. And she brought a tube top one weekend. And she put a tube top on. You know what a tube top is? It goes under your armpits, and it's a tight-fitting tube top. So your shoulders and your back and your breasts are bare down to your armpits. And I told her, no way. That ain't happening. And to demonstrate it, I took a T-shirt, and I put it on upside down up to my armpits. And I says, are we ready to go to church? How's that for a demonstration? How's that for a graphic demonstration? Me walking around with a tube top on. I just put a T-shirt on upside down. It was my tube top. I says, is this decent? Are we ready to go to church? Well, she didn't like that at all. You know, her poppy, her grandfather can't walk into a church with his shoulders and his back and his breasts half bare. That would be inappropriate. So ladies, I got one question to ask. If it's inappropriate for a man, how much more for a woman to walk in with cleavage, with a breast bare down, you see half of her breasts, you know? No, that's not appropriate, or a bare back or a tube top. That's not appropriate. A dress above the knees. Man, the dress should be well below the knees so that it covers her knees when she sits down. That's minimum. That's the minimal standard of modesty, ladies and men out there. You know, you're to rule in your house. Patriarchy means that the father rules. You're to uphold the law of God. You're supposed to say, this is not decent. This is not right. You know, but you're weak. You're weak-minded. You don't want to rule in your house. You're afraid of what they might say. You're afraid of resistance. Well, don't be afraid of resistance. Do what I did. Your wife wants to go to church with a tube top on? Put your t-shirt on upside down. And say, okay, we're ready to go. And watch. Watch how she protests. You walk in there with a low-cut top on. And see how, or a bare back. You say, okay, we're ready. Oh, no, she'll protest. No, she'll change her mind real quick. I'll tell you. She don't want to be embarrassed by you walking into church like that. But why are you not embarrassed to walk into church with her like that? What's wrong with this picture? Yes, teach your children well. Teach your young ones. I'm teaching my children, my grandchildren, modesty. And I'm enforcing it. When they're with me, it's enforced. Because I'll tell you what, you know, I may demonstrate by putting my own tube top on, or not that I have one, like I said, an upside down t-shirt on up to my armpits to demonstrate the absurdity of them going in there with a low cut top. Yeah, they won't want to go in there. They'd be embarrassed. So I should be embarrassed to go in there with their knees uncovered, and their breasts showing, and their back bare, and their shoulders bare, and their head uncovered. Yes, their head uncovered. We should be embarrassed. They would be embarrassed if I went in there with a hat on, wouldn't they? That's not acceptable. We need to be strong, men. We need to uphold righteousness and modesty. Especially in the congregation. Well, you're listening to Cross the Border. Well, I think we're done for today. So join me next time. I'm Nicholas. I'd like to hear from you. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and email me. Put my name or Cross the Border in the subject line of the email so I'll know what it is when I get it. And I'll see you next time. As always, Hallelujah.